Okay, you have your Bibles tonight. Start a new book tonight. It's a great book, 1 Kings, if you have your Bibles. Now, I don't want you to think that this is a boring book. It's an exciting book, got a lot of things in it, a lot of lessons we can learn. Number one, the effect of fathers on sons. That ought to affect a lot of people in this room. The effect of a father on his son's heart, attitude. We're going to see that tonight. Not tonight, but as we go through. Not only that, but what does entitlement do to someone? You'll see that in Ahab, Jezebel. What does wealth do? You'll be able to see that in Solomon's life. Perhaps the richest man that's ever lived. The Bible says he made silver to be as nothing, of no value, because he had so much gold and wealth. And then what power does? Rehoboam. He's Solomon's son, and he thought because he was king and because he had all power, the kings of Israel were all-powerful kings. There was no objection to them. There was no uprising. It was put down by death. So there wasn't a lot of questioning them. And so Rehoboam made one day said, you know, I'm gonna tax everybody. And so some of the older wise men came and said, look, if you'll lower the taxes from what Solomon had, the people will love you and serve you forever. So it's not like America. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, everybody lowered the taxes. And we'd vote for him again, wouldn't we? Well, you know, he said, okay, let me go get my buddies. And so he got all of his friends that he grew up with and said, what do you guys think? And they said, man, if I was you and I was king, I'd tell them, look, my little finger's going to be thicker than my dad's thigh was on you. You've got no idea how much tax I can put on you. And the whole place blew up. Why? Because he had so much power, he thought. Do you understand? Nobody's got power, wealth, or entitlement without the Lord saying, look, I can take it away if you don't have the right attitude. Belteshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, and he takes out all of the vessels of God and says, you're going to have a party. Took out 1,000 vessels, let's drink beer and wine and all the stuff in them. And God took out his finger and wrote on the plaster of the wall, past plasters flying everywhere. And he said, what does that mean? Daniel came in and said, the Lord said, your kingdom's finished. It's over tonight. And it was. So there is a God in heaven. And with this book, we're going to get a chance to see what the Lord says that he can do with people that surrender. Elijah. Elisha. Oh my. What great servants of God. You're going to get a chance to see it. And I trust that you'll open your heart and say, Lord, teach me a lesson from each one of these great men in Scripture. Now, tonight, we're going to start with David. If you notice chapter 1 of 1 Kings chapter 1. Now, King David is old and stricken in years. And they covered him with clothes. They put clothes all over him and blankets, and he couldn't get warm. So one of their policies was they'd go find a beautiful young woman and put him in bed with the king and try to be there with him to warm him up. And you'll notice here that they did that with a young lady called Abishag. She's a beautiful woman. And the reason this is important, it comes up a little later in chapter 2. It cost this woman, of no fault of her own, cost the life of Solomon's elder brother. And so you'll just take that as a part of the story. We'll look at it. But then you'll notice, if you have your outline, Roman number 1, David is old and in ill health, but he's still mentally sharp and in charge of his country. So the story tonight is about he's cold, he can't get warm, he's dying, and so they bring Abishag in, And you'll notice in verse number 4, and the damsel was very fair and cherished the king and ministered to him. Now notice, if you would, in verse 5, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. So you begin to see, now Adonijah was Solomon's older brother. And there's you've got to realize there was, first there was Amnon, and he was slain by Absalom. And then Absalom is killed by Joab. And so now the next son in line is Adonijah. So he naturally says, the king is dying. I'm going to get the kingdom for myself. So the Bible says he exalted himself. And folks, tonight, we can learn a lesson from the attitude here. No one here needs to exalt yourself. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 75, if you would. Turn to Psalm 75. Psalm 75 is a tremendous challenge to all of us, of a reminder. Notice with me, if you would, Psalm 75, verse number 5. Lift not up your horn on high. Don't promote yourself. Speak not with a stiff neck. Look, this is what I'm going to do, because I can do it. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor the west, nor the south. But verse 7, but God is a judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. If Adonijah would have just learned that lesson, he could have saved his own life. But he didn't. And so you'll see the life of any time you and I promote ourselves, lift ourselves up. Now, that's pretty common in our society today. I mean, athletes promote themselves. Why don't you throw the ball to me in football? Why don't you pass the ball to me in basketball? You know, why don't you put me out there? I can hit it out in baseball. I mean, you pick the sport. There's always guys that say, look, I can do it. Give me a chance. And so they're promoting themselves. And so the Lord says, look, if you just do what is right and work hard and leave the promotion to the Lord, he says, I'll bless you if you're my child. Now, notice, if you would, in verse number six, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? In other words, no one ever said anything to him about not doing it. And he was a very goodly man. He was a good man. You'll know him, and his mother bare him after Absalom. So he's Absalom's brother. But you'll notice, if you would, he goes to verse 7. He conferred with Joab and with Abiathar, the priest. So he goes with the bravest man that's alive today. And this kind of gives me a little bit of a thought that, you know, it doesn't matter who we get on our side. If the Lord's not on our side, it's not going to work. And so he thinks, I'll go get Joab. He's the general of the day on my side, and I'll get the kingdom. It's mine anyway. I'm next in line. But he knew that David had already said, I want Solomon to be the next king. But because David is dying, he decides he'll go in and promote himself and take it over. Well, you'll notice, if you would, verse 8. But Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rei and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. So you can see a dichotomy in the country. There's a division now. And you'll notice in verse 9, and Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone. And notice this, he goes out and he puts on a big party, and he invites everybody. He invites Joab, and he invites the priest that he likes. And he said, look, y'all come to my party. I'm going to be the next king. And they all say, okay. Well, in this day, it's telling on who you invite and who you don't invite. Now, if it's a brother, if it's a family, and one of them takes charge, he's going to kill everybody else that he doesn't invite. So there's no competition. He's going to remove the competition. Well, you'll notice, if you would, let's go on the outline. Let's go back and catch up. David was cold, and his servants sought out Abishag to be his wife and take care of him. And notice B, she cherished the king. She loved him. She was good to him. She, even though she's very young, she knows what her role is. And they said, look, you know, we'd like for you to be the king's wife. He's He's cold. Would you take care of him? She said, I'd be glad to. So she takes the job seriously. And you'll notice, see in the outline, Adonijah tried to take control of the kingdom. While all this is going on with David, and everybody's concerned about his life, and yet he's still got all of his faculties there. He's just slowly dying. His blood circulation is not there. And so you'll notice, one, Adonijah prepared himself a chariot to declare himself king. Notice, if you would, in verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And folks, tonight, maybe you're, in your mind, entitled to something. But you have to be so careful with that mindset. I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. Does anybody understand tonight, we're entitled to one thing, a place called hell. That's all we're entitled to, because we're sinners. But because God loves us, he gives us health. He gives us a mind. Did anybody here go to the hospital and say, I want a mind that can do mathematics of chemistry and calculus? Nobody did that. If you can do it, God gave it to you. Well, I'd like to know how to read foreign languages and do linguistics. Nobody here did that. I'd like to know how to do wiring for this building. Nobody did that. It's a gift that God gives to you as abilities. They're talents. And yet, we look at it and say, well, I can do that. I should be this or I should be that. And we start promoting ourselves. The story here is, don't promote yourself. Do your best, work hard, but say, Lord, would you allow me to go up the ladder? Lord, would you open the doors for me? Lord, help me to have the right spirit. Remember this, God is interested in you being a testimony every step of the way. So he's interested in you making a light, being a shining light for him. You can't do that when you promote yourself. Nobody can. It takes the glory away from the Lord. So here's Adonijah making a fundamental mistake in his life. Now notice, if you would, he prepares a chariot. And notice in verse 5, he prepared himself a chariot and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. So he's going to make a big show. He's going to go down Main Street. And he's going to be in his own chariot. And I'm sure he's gotten a real nice limo chariot with spinners on it and all kinds of things. And he goes down the street and everybody says, wow, who's that? That's the new king. He's trying to really make a big show of it. And then he goes out in the countryside and he's got all these sheep and cattle that have already been slaughtered. And come enjoy a big meal with me. He's trying to usurp the kingdom from what David said it's going to be Solomon's. Now, notice if you would, two, he threw a big banquet to celebrate being king. Three, he was the older son of, and this older son and a good man. But he had a selfish heart. He wanted to be king. He was selfish. He said, I want what I want. And folks, tonight, all of us in this room, we can have that exact same attitude. I want what I want. I want that car. I want that house. I want that job. Could I challenge you to always do this? Lord, I'd like to have that car, but not my will, yours be done. Could I challenge you? Lord, I'd like to have that girlfriend or boyfriend or that husband or wife, but Lord, not my will, yours be done. Folks, everything in life should be palms up for all of us. If you want God's blessing, you can't take it. You have to be given it by God. But I want you to understand this. God is better to you and loves you more than you can ever take. But Adonijah didn't learn that lesson. Now, notice if you would in the outline, Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet, this is D, went to David and asked for Solomon to be the king instead of Adonijah. And notice, if you would, in verse number 10, but Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother, he called not. There's the telling statement. He didn't call his brother, so that means if I become king, you're a dead man. Now follow along with me in verse number 12. Now therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel. Now this is Nathan speaking. Notice, let me give thee counsel, thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaid, this is his wife, Bathsheba, Assuredly, Solomon, thy son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Did you not say that, David? Why then doth Adonijah reign? And so you got to go in, Nathan says, and talk to David. Time is short. You got to get in there and see him. Now, does anybody know the penalty for going in to see the king without an appointment, without being asked to come? If he didn't agree, it was death. So she's under the gun. Now she's his wife, but nobody had free reign to see the king. Nobody. A very sad thing. I mean, the way things were done back in this days of Israel, God was not pleased with this, all these different things that went on. And so there were a lot of turmoil, a lot of issues. Notice, if you would, in verse number 15. And Bathsheba went into the king, into the chamber. The king was very old. And Abishag, the Shunammite, ministered under the king. So his new wife, Abishag, is there taking good care of him. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. She handles things right. And the king said, what wouldest thou? Now, I think that's a sad thing. A man is an old man and he's dying. And somebody comes in and he says, what do you want? I mean, he just knows that nobody's going to come to see him and say, how are you doing, David? They're all going to come in and say, look, David, could you do this for me? Could you do that for me? David knew that. Now, Bathsheba is not doing wrong here. It's just you have to understand the mindset of being king, the mindset of being in great power and authority. And it's even now, if you have a job with a lot of power and authority, people come in, they want things from you. Well, being king, David said, man, you know, what is it you need, Bathsheba? Notice, and she said unto him, verse 17, my Lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, surely Solomon, thy son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my lord, the king, thou knowest it not. And he has slain oxen, and goes on and tells about it. But Solomon, the last part of the verse 19, thy servant hath he not called. So she's telling David, my son's getting ready to get killed. And you don't realize what's going on, David. And you'll notice if you would. And thou, my lord, O verse 20, O king, the eyes of all Israel upon thee. O David, what are you going to say? That thou shouldst tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. So David has all authority in the whole world. All he's got to do is just speak, and that happens. Well, verse 21, otherwise it shall come to pass when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers. David, when you die, I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. We're both going to be slain, David. And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. So Nathan had set this up and said, you go talk to David first, and while you're speaking to him, I'll come in and confirm everything you're saying. Well, notice he does, but Nathan, being wise, said in verse number 24, Nathan said, my lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me and he shall sit upon my throne? He doesn't go in and say, David, this is what I want. Or David, did you know this? He goes in and said, are you the one that's asked Adonijah to be king? And, you know, now it leaves it in David's court. He knows he's got to do something quickly. So notice, if you would, in verse number 26, but me, even me, thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, hath he not called? David, you know what this means. We're next on the list for death when something happens to you. Verse 27, is this thing done by my lord the king? And thou hast not showed it unto thy servant who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? David, have you changed your mind? Is this what you're trying to do? Do you realize it's going to cost us our lives? Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence, stood before the king, and the king swore and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress. Boy, do you notice David is saying, look, as the Lord God of heaven that's redeemed me, said, verse 30, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon the throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. So David is sharp in his mind, but his physical body is almost gone. And so, verse 31, then Bathsheba bowed her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, my Lord King, live forever. Thank you, David. Well, you'll notice King David said, call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. They came in before the king. Now, these were the three most powerful men in Israel because David made them so. Now, folks, tonight, if you're going to have any authority and any power, God makes it so if you want to have God's blessing. The power of God is placed upon a father. The power of God is placed upon a mother where the children follow. The power of God is placed upon people that God himself says, I will bless you if you'll follow me. And the story here is very clear. Notice, if you would, in verse number 33, and King also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord and call Solomon, my son, to ride upon my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. And blow ye the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. So he's going to have a coronation day. This is the day whenever he's going to be crowned king. That day immediately. So keep in mind, over on the other side of Jerusalem, all things are going on. They're having a big party, and Adonijah's having a big party. And he said, you know, I'm going to become king. But he didn't talk to David. There's no place he ever prayed about it. He just said, I want to be king. And folks, everything that we do in this life, if you want God's blessing on it, you got to get down on your knees beside your bed or someplace and say, Lord, I'd like to do this. Is this okay with you? Folks, if I could just get every one of you to understand, when you talk to the God of heaven, you're talking to the one that put the stars in his place, that knows them all by name. He can do anything. But you and I have to address him with grace and with humility and say, Lord, could I have this by your grace? It's up to you. The Lord knows what best for us. How many of you ever asked for something and it didn't turn out like the way you thought? And you'd rather not have had it after you asked for it and got it. Or maybe you took it. That happens to people all the time because their eyes have this much distance. But God sees all the way to the end of time. And so he sees what we need and he knows what you need. And as a heavenly father, he's going to be good to you. What father in this room doesn't want to have the greatest blessings for their children? Do you think God is any less than that? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, Lord, would you give me my daily bread, Lord? And would you, Lord, do you see the attitude in that prayer? That's Jesus saying, this is how you pray. So tonight, you see the attitude here that David says, look, go set up my son. You see over here Adonijah saying, I'm going to take it. And Solomon doesn't say a word about this. So notice what happens in verse 35. Then ye shall come up after him that he may come and sit upon my throne. For he shall be king in my stead. I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. So once you're done, bring him up and sit him on my throne. And he'll be king today. Now, watch what happens. So verse 38, Zadok the priest and Nathan, they do this. And he rides upon the king's mule and he's brought to Gihon. And they took a horn of oil, verse 39, and anointed him. And then they all said, God save the king. And in verse number 40, and all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. You know what happens now? Because it's God's choice, it's God's blessing, the whole earth rings with King Solomon, King Solomon. Adonijah can't get that done. He doesn't have the power to get that done. It's all, look, let's come have a big meal. Look at my nice chariot I'm riding. And folks, all of us, If we take positions and things to ourselves because we want them, it's hollow. Learn to take things that God wants you to have after he gives them to you. Puts them in your hand and then you can take them. Notice, if you would, in the outline, D, Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet went to David and asked for Solomon to be the king instead of an Adonijah. One, David refused to let Adonijah be king. He said, he's not going to be king, Solomon is. Two, he caused Solomon to ride on his mule and had Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint Solomon as the next king. Now, Adonijah E stopped his efforts to be king and asked for forgiveness for his actions. Look at verse 51. We're going to go back up in verse number in verse number 41. We'll get over to 51, but notice 41. And Adonijah and all the guests that with him heard it as they made an end of eating. So they're at the end of their meal. When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, "Wherefore is there noise in the city being an uproar?" What's going on? Joab, he's the general. He's perhaps the most famous man at this meal. While he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest came, and Adonijah said unto him, "Come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bring us good tidings." What's going on? Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, "Verily, our Lord King David hath made Solomon king." Well, excuse me, that changes everything. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 45, "And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet had anointed him king in Gihon, and they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that you have heard. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom." He's already on the throne, according to David's word. And notice, if you would, in verse number 49, "And all the guests that with Adonijah were afraid." Now they're all traitors immediately, because they didn't do things the right way. And so all of us can learn a lesson. Do everything the right way. If you're at work and you're trying to work toward a position, you pray about it, work hard, and let the people that be promote you. Come ask you and promote you. Let the promotion be of the Lord. Talk to the Lord about it. But don't, whatever you do, talk other people, circumvent other people, climb the ladder to get what you want. It's never as sweet, and it never lasts like when God gives you something. Notice, if you would, in the outline, Adonijah stopped his efforts to be king. Well, notice what happens. At verse 49, "And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way." So Adonijah's left this huge party, and now it's empty. Verse 50, "And Adonijah feared because of Solomon and rose and went, caught hold on the horns of the altar." Now, when somebody has caused an offense, they would run to the altar, and there were horns on all four corners. And they would run to the altar, and they would grab a hold of the horns of the altar and wait for the person they had offended to come or send somebody, symbolizing humility, symbolizing, "I made a mistake." So notice, if you would, in verse 51, "And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth the king, Solomon. For lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me this day that he will not slay his servant with a sword. I'm asking for mercy." And Solomon said, "If he will show himself a worthy man." Now watch this. "There will not a hair of him fall to the earth." Now Solomon is being more gracious than Adonijah was contemplating. Because Adonijah was trying to be king, and then he was going to slay Solomon and all the people that are around him. Zadok and Nathan and Bathsheba. And Solomon, being the wise king, says, "I won't touch a hair on your head as long as you're going to do what's right. And you don't cause trouble. Well, notice if you would, there shall not a hair of him, verse 52, fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in thee, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to thine house. So he lets him off. He doesn't kill him. Solomon is a wise and godly king. He doesn't want to start his kingdom out with blood. So keep in mind, this is the first day. He's sitting on the throne, and his first act, is he going to kill his eldest brother or not? Now, that would have been the smart thing if you didn't have the Lord behind you. And folks, tonight, many times there are things that we ought to do if we weren't sure that the Lord is going to watch out for us. But who would you rather have watch out for you? Your own wisdom and skill or the Lord himself? So Solomon says, I'm going to trust the Lord and I'll let you show yourself. Now follow with me in verse number one. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son. So he calls his son in, and notice if you would, he gives him words of challenge and encouragement. Notice Roman numeral 2. David gave Solomon some wise words, and then he died. Now, notice A, David told Solomon he was soon to die. And he wanted Solomon to be strong about it. Solomon, I don't mind you weeping for me, but I want you to be strong. Everybody dies, and I want you to handle it well, son. B, David charged Solomon to obey the Lord and walk in his commandments. Now notice, if you would, in verse 2. Let's read about it. Solomon, I go the way of all the earth. This is 1 Kings 2:2. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. He's a young man, Solomon is. He's only been king for a little while, and David's trying to encourage him. He's trying to give him the strength to stand up as the leader of Israel. And notice what he says in verse 3. I have verse 3 underlined in my Bible. It is a great challenge for every father. It's a great challenge for everybody in this room. Read it with me. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me. God made me some promises, Solomon, but he's only going to keep them if you do what is right. Now, the word prosper is to lengthen. It's like to take a piece of metal and heat it up and pound it longer and longer and longer. That's their mindset for prosper. So you take something this long and make it this long. You take money as this amount and make it this amount. It's prospering. Now, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Joshua 1. Go back, Joshua 1, and notice this. Now, this is Moses, and he's now dead. And so the Lord challenges Joshua. Watch what he says. In verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe. Now, the strength and the courage is to do something. Watch what it is. To observe, to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest, here it is, prosper whithersoever thou goest. Look at verse 8. This book of the law, God's word, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Don't forget it. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, folks, what does that mean? You read it at night, you read it in the morning, you contemplate it, you think about it. You try to figure out how you can best live it, how you can apply it to your life. Keep reading. that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So you meditate about it, you think on it, so that you can do it. Think about it so that you can obey it. Now, folks, if you don't read God's word regularly, you can't know and have it in your mind and mull it over in your thoughts. You have to have God's word in your heart. David said, Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Our Joshua clubs, in every Joshua club, they memorize verses. You want to know why? That verse. Because I want everybody, all the men of our church, to hide God's word in their heart. How can you share it with your children? How can you live it before your family if you don't know it? And so notice his word in verse 8, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Do you realize? You make your way prosperous. You make it where God can bless you, or you make it where God cannot bless you. You yourself, by the way you handle God's word in your life. Notice what he says. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, look back over to 1 Kings chapter 2, in verse number 3, and notice the wording in the middle of the verse, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and wherein, whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word, that the Lord can bless you. So prosperity and blessing come from the Lord. Folks, you don't earn it. You do things that allow God to bless you with it. You might think you earn it, but God can take it away that quick. It can be removed in one test from the doctor. It can be removed with one pink slip. And all is lost, it seems like. Learn to trust the Lord and not your own abilities. And David is trying to tell Solomon, son, I'm dying. You're going to be king. Son, trust the Lord. Take his word and hide it in your heart. And Solomon did that for a while. But then power and wealth and entitlement ruined his heart. Folks, tonight, be careful of your heart. Notice in the outline, C, David challenged his son to keep all of God's instructions according to the word of God by Moses. Solomon, keep them all. Don't pick and choose. Whatever you see, obey it. And notice D, he knew that if his son obeyed, God would cause him to prosper. God would bless everything that he did. And folks, that's what I want for my son. Son, I want you to follow the Lord. I want you to obey his word. That's what I want for my grandson, my grandchildren. I want you to obey the Lord. I want you to follow the Lord so he can bless you. You can't take your hands and get them full enough of stuff that you want. But if you open your hands up and say, Lord, I want to serve you. You give me what you think I need. God always gives you more than you could ever imagine. But you can't take it and keep it. You find out in Nahum and some of the other books that you take, and it said you've earned things and put them with bags with holes in them. We do that. You can't keep the money if you don't get it the Lord's way and if God doesn't bless it. Oh, there are some rich people that have gotten money, but you know what? The bags and holes with it, or it doesn't make them happy. It doesn't bring them the joy that they thought. They're empty. So you may have your pockets full of gold, but what you thought it was going to bring, your soul is empty. And folks, tonight, I want our church people, I want your souls to be full. I want you to have the joy of the Lord in your life. Do what is right and leave the prospering to the Lord. He can bless you. And that's what David's trying to get his son to do. Notice, if you would, E in the outline. God would also be able to keep all of his promises. Now, you know, in this book, there's some 7,700 promises. And you know who made them? God did. And we can have every one of them. But only by obeying and trusting him. You can't take them. They're promises from God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Promises. The Bible's filled with them. But you can't take what you want. If I could just get our church family to understand, learn to pray like this. Lord, I'd like to have this, but I'll leave it in your hands. Then it's sweet when God gives it to you. And it's lasting. Because it doesn't stick in your heart. God has the ability to remove it if he sees it's causing you harm. But he has the ability to multiply it if he sees you handle it well. Solomon listened for a while. And that's why I want to study the book of Kings tonight. I want you to see the lessons we can learn from Adonijah. I'm going to be king. I deserve it. I'm the eldest son. Knowing in his mind, David said, Solomon's going to be king. But David's dying. I'll take it. Notice, if you would, in the outline. One, E1. David wanted Solomon to be established as the king, to be blessed of God as the king. Now, understand, David didn't just want him to be king. He wanted him to be respected by the people as the king. And nobody wants a position at work if people don't respect you in that position. You want to have the things that go with that position. And God is the one that works on the heart of people. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, the Lord says. So notice, if you would, two, David was so honored that God would always have a son, that he would always have a son. God said, I'm going to always have a son on the throne if they did right. He wanted that for his children. Now, God kept his promise, even though David's sons didn't keep theirs. Who was the one that sits on the throne of David? Jesus Christ. But before they got there, there was a lot of turmoil with the kings that didn't do what's right. But God is so faithful. He went through 15, 18 kings and then said, okay, I'm going to let my son, great, 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 great grandson of David, be born. And one day he's going to be king, millennial reign. He's going to reign for all eternity. So it's going to be kept, but he couldn't keep it the way he intended because the sons of David didn't do what's right. Now notice, if you would, lastly, if we honor and obey God, our families will also be blessed. That's a promise of God. Are we putting our families in the position of blessing by our obedience to God? Folks, you can't bless your children, but you can put them in the position of blessing. You can teach them what it means to honor the Lord, to read his word and to study it, and to lift palms up with their hands. And say, Lord, I'd like to have this, but Lord, I'll leave you with a final decision. He always directs us right if we leave the final decision with him. But if we reach out and take it, that's what I want. Little story. This one story I've heard years ago, and I read it in a book, and it's so pictured what happens when we take it. There's a very wealthy lady. She's on a train. And her spoiled brat son is sitting there. And the nanny is between her and him. She didn't want to be fooled with training. And so she had money, so she paid the nanny. You take care of him. So the little boy's there. He's spoiled because nobody spends any time with him. And he sees a wasp flying in around on the window. And he says, hey, that's cool, little kid. And he reached up and grabbed the wasp, and he missed it. And the nanny says, look, don't grab that. That'll hurt you. Nuh. And he saw it again and tried it again. Missed it. And the mother's listening out of her ear, but not concerned. And pretty soon she says, now, don't touch that. Leave it alone. It'll hurt you. And pretty soon he sees it light. He reaches up there and grabs it. And then this blood-curdling scream comes out. And now the mother's upset. She turns to the nanny and says, "What did you do to him?" She said, "I just told him that if he got that wasp in his hand, he wouldn't like it and he wouldn't listen." And she said, "Well, why did you let him do that?" And so she's blaming the nanny, and the little boy's just screaming his head off. Well, he got bit. There's a lot of people just like that little boy. I want that. Ugh. And they finally get it, and it kills them. We had a man in our church years ago. He came to me and he said, "Pastor," he said, "I've been offered a job making $500,000 a year in Florida." I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "What church are you going to?" "Oh, I don't know. I'll figure that out later." I said, "Look, let me encourage you. Put the Lord first. Have you prayed about this?" "Well, you know, it's just too good a deal to turn down." I said, "Look, the blessing of the Lord is always worth more than money." "Hey, I understand. I'll pray about it, but I'm going to go take this job." And he did. Took his family down there. About 3 years later, he came back. No wife. Lost his marriage. Had a lot of money. But, he said, "Yeah, wasn't worth it." So tonight, I just urge you, don't take. Ask. Let the Lord bless you and prosper your way by obeying his word. Let's pray tonight. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. I thank you for coming tonight. Maybe you have your hands around a wasp. Tell the Lord you're sorry. He'll forgive you. Maybe you're thinking about grabbing something that's pure honey. You think, could I challenge you tonight? Leave the choice with the Lord. If you're facing a big decision, why don't you come to this altar and say, "Lord, could I talk to you for a minute?" The Lord loves you. He'll answer if you'll leave the choice to him. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts tonight. Your precious name we pray. Amen.